to the radio ministry of Albertville First Baptist Church. We invite you to join us each Sunday at 9 a.m. right here on 105.1 WQSB. For more information about the ministries of First Baptist Church or to listen to previously recorded messages, please visit albertvillefbc.church. If you do not have a church home, please join us for worship this Sunday at 8:30 a.m. or 10:30 a.m. We hope you are blessed by today's broadcast. This room this morning, and you are defeated, and you are broken, and you are shattered, you are bruised. I'm here to tell you this morning, God is not finished with you yet. He has a plan,
He has a purpose. He has a reason for you being here right now and right in this moment. And some of you are here, you're walking in just struggling. You're walking in, you're beaten, you're walking in. I'm telling you right now, God is not through with you yet. Sing this out.
Oh, you're not finished with me. You're not finished with me yet. You're not finished with me. You're not finished with me. No, you're not finished with me. You're not finished with me yet. You're not finished with me. You're not finished with me yet. Ever since by faith I saw the stream that flowing wounds
this morning. So I'll sing,
and so I'll sing thy power to save. I'll sing thy power to save. Then in a nobler, sweeter song,
fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins. Father, that song that we've sung for years, what a beautiful message of truth. We're thankful for the blood of Jesus. We're thankful for the fountain of grace. And Father, when we doubt it, remind us of your grace and goodness. Remind us that you're at work in our lives. As long as we're alive and breathing, you are at work, Father. Continue to work, please. Would you speak to us now as we open your word? Please use the scripture to transform us, to change us, to make us more like you. Lord, we need you to do it. So we're asking you to, please. In Jesus' name, amen. Be seated if you will. If you have a Bible, turn to Philippians chapter 3. This is week 15 of our series through the book of Philippians. Our goal is to finish by the end of the summer. I believe we're going to make it. And speaking of goals, setting goals is what today's verse is about. Identifying steps to achieve those goals, that's the mark of a great leader. If you're a leader and you don't set goals, you're not leading well. You must have goals. But hear me say this, goals aren't just for leaders. Goals are for all of us. Anyone who wants to make a difference in life needs a set of goals and plans and ambition. Now, some goals are more significant than others. Let me give you my own personal life, for example. I'll give you three goals over a 30-year span, and you'll see what I mean. They're very different. Back in 1994, I was traveling in full-time evangelism in an itinerant ministry, and I was a very young man. I was in my early 20s, and my goal for 1994 was to be able to either sing or preach in 200 churches that year. And so I set about that goal, and then just through meeting people and doing things. And the reality is, through one-day kids' events and crusades and through through senior adult rallies and through all kinds of things, just revivals in churches. I made it to 184. Didn't quite get there, but it was a goal I had set ministry-wise that I wanted to reach and came very close, and God used it. Now, jump forward to 2001. Let me give you a health goal. In 2001, I was riding bicycles with a number of men and women in our community here in Albertville, and they set about having a special trip. And so I had a goal, an ambition, along with a couple other folks right here in our church, that we would train enough and do well enough that we could join them on riding. We started at the river in Chattanooga and rode our bicycles from Chattanooga, Tennessee to Destin, Florida. So we started, and 4 days later, we dipped the front tire of our bike in the ocean, and we achieved our goal. Now, I'll be honest with you. We got to South Alabama. It was July. Who did that in July? Anyway, we did it in July. We got to South Alabama. One day, I thought I was going to die, so I actually put my bike up and got in the sag wagon behind the bikes for about 12 to 14 miles. I still count it, and you better count it too, that I made it from Chattanooga all the way to Destin. So it was a goal. We achieved it. Now, that was in 2001. So you move forward to a different kind of goal in just 2019. I had a very important goal. I see Miss Chu in the room here, and Miss Chu may remember this, that right there that first week of January, I told her at Asia Garden, I said, "Now, Miss Chu, I've got a goal in this year. I'm going to eat every item on your menu." And so that was my goal, and I set about it. Listen, I had to work at it. But before the year was over, I ate everything on that menu one time. Now, listen, I don't know which one of those you're more proud of, but I know the one that I'm the proudest of anyway. And so it was a blessing. Three very different goals. I'm not encouraging you to take on any of those goals as your own. You find your own. But the reality is we all need ambition in life, and goals are not equal. They bring about very different results. My three goals brought about very different results. So it's not just important to have a goal. I'm not just telling you find a goal. It's have the right goal. Now, what's the right goal for you? I can promise you one today. Paul makes it his ambition, and it must be ours as well. Philippians chapter 3, beginning in verse 12. He says, "Not that I have already obtained this or am already perfect, but I press on to make it my own because Christ Jesus has made me his own." Now, let's stop right there. Paul says, "Not that I have obtained this, but I make it." So this and it, what is Paul talking about? What is it he's trying to do? Well, you have to look back at last week's verse to remember. In last week, we read verse 10, where Paul says, "That I may know him and the power of his resurrection, and may share in his suffering, becoming like him to his death." So Paul says, my ambition is to know Jesus and to become like him. Now, friends, what I would say to you is that your ambition and my ambition should be to know Jesus and to become like him. Now, the reality is Paul himself says that he had not finished that yet. That sweet little boy. Hey, look, I just dedicated him to the Lord just a minute ago. He's sweet. I like it. Now, listen, every now and then I know it embarrasses a parent or if they get loud or something. But let me tell you something. Here's what I know about church. Let me just give a little side note here to all of us. If you ever think, well, goodness, is that child hungry or what? Maybe so. Here's what I know. If you ever go into a church and you never hear a baby cry. If you go into a church and all the walls are perfectly painted, there's no stains on the carpet, nothing's messed up, nothing looks a little worn down. What you've walked into is a museum. And you know what you find in a museum? Dead things. So when I hear a baby cry, when I see a scuffed wall, when I see carpet that needs to be replaced, I see that as a good thing. Now, that's a little side note, free and extra for all of you. And so I'm thankful for that. And I'm thankful for every child in this room and thankful for all that. So, okay, anyway, so back to this. What was I talking about? Okay, here we are. So Paul made it his ambition to know Jesus and become like him. So look at what he says next in Philippians 3:13. "Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own. But one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind, straining towards what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Let those of us who are mature think this way. And if any of you think otherwise, God will reveal this to you also. Only let us hold true to what we have attained." So what's Paul saying? Paul says, my ambition is to know Jesus and to become like him. And so what's his goal? He says his goal is the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. What is that? Listen, when Paul speaks and writes in Greek, and then that's translated into English, sometimes you get long run-on sentences, and it's beautiful poetry, but here's the reality. When Paul says, my goal is the upward call of God in Christ Jesus, he just means Christian maturity. He wants you to be mature in your faith. He wants me to be mature in my faith. So here's what I would say to you. There is no greater ambition for your life or mine than to be mature in Jesus Christ. But here's the key. It is certainly not a given that every believer will be mature, is it? How many people do you know personally that came to Jesus years ago, but they're still immature in their faith? We all know people like that. If you say, if I could think of how many people I know who have been a follower of Jesus for decades but are not very mature now, I think the technical answer for that is a whole bunch. There's a lot of people that fall into that category. Now, listen, it's cute to feed a baby. Listen, having Leah James, her little eyes were locking eyes with mine. Listen, there's nothing cuter than to sit and to look at a little child, to feed a baby, even when they're really little, to change a diaper. We get over that quick, but it's even cute at first to bathe them, to carry them everywhere we go. All that's wonderful. But here's what I've learned. If you have to do that as an adult, it is not ideal. And that is not a difficult circumstance for a lot of people. So if you know Jesus, listen, but you're dependent on somebody else to feed you, to teach you truth from the Bible, to give you rules to help you know how to live, to tell you what to do and when to do it. Listen, friends, can I say to you, it's time to mature in Christ. Jesus has more for you. More than just rules and regulations. We sometimes think church is all about rules and regulations. That is not what the scripture is about. The scripture is about you and I maturing in Christ. It's about us growing in Him on our own. So please understand, as believers, though, you're never going to stop growing. I don't even think you'll stop growing when you go to heaven. Some of you may disagree. I know some of you think when you get to heaven, because there'll be no more sin, that there'll just be no need to grow anymore. I think because we have a creator God, a growing God, a God who provides growth, I believe we'll still learn for all eternity. But anyway, either way, the reality is on this earth, you will never achieve perfection or complete status, as Paul calls it. You won't arrive. Paul didn't either. If you look back and think about Paul's life, Paul became a Christian, a follower of Jesus 30 years before he wrote Philippians. 30 years earlier, he's walking on the Damascus Road and God strikes him blind. And Jesus speaks to him and he gives his life to Jesus in the matter of hours. And the next thing you know, Paul doesn't look back and the power of the Holy Spirit is on him. So for 30 years, Paul has been preaching, teaching, planting churches, loving, sharing the gospel. But look at what he wrote in verse 12. He says, "Not that I already obtained this or am already perfect." That means complete. Paul says, not that I've already obtained it or I'm perfect. But I press on to make it my own because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own. Paul says God is still working in him. Did you hear that song we sang just a minute ago? You're not finished with me. You're not finished with me yet. Hear that over and over in Paul's words. That God's not finished with us yet. He was not finished with Paul. You're not finished with me. You're not finished with me yet. He's still at work in you and me. Now, maybe for you, though, you were growing in your faith for a long time and all of a sudden you've hit a plateau and maybe you're struggling. Or maybe for you, it's not a plateau. Maybe it's so stagnant you feel like you've moved back from where you were in your walk with Christ. Maybe for you, when you pray, listen, if you're old enough and you know the movie, maybe sometimes you're like me, I can feel like my prayer life is Bill Murray's Groundhog's Day. It's the same thing over and over and over and over again. Maybe you're stuck in one of those places. Let me encourage you to realize you're not alone. Realize you are not alone. We must do what Paul says to do in verse 12 and 14. What does he say? He says, press on. Paul says, I press on. Philippians 3:14, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. So what is the goal, the prize of the upward call of God? It's maturity in Christ. So the question is, if Paul says, I'm pressing on to maturity, how is it that you and I press on to maturity? How do we do that? Well, the word press on in the original language literally means to pursue. That's what it means. You can take the phrase press on and replace it with pursue. So here's a few, four, if you're writing things down, quick phrases about pursuit. This will be practical for you and helpful. First of all, if you're going to pursue, pursuit is not passive. Pursuit is not passive. It will always be active, right? What if I got up here today and said, guys, I'm taking on a new hobby. Here's my new hobby. I am going to pursue a black belt in Taekwondo. And some of you would look at me and say, good luck. And others of you would say, Chris, you can do it. That's the difference in nice people and mean people in the room. But anyway, but if you were to say, well, Chris, tell me, where are you studying? What dojo are you going to? I'm like, oh, no, I'm not going to a dojo. I binge watched on Netflix Lone Wolf McQuade and Walker, Texas Ranger and Enter the Dragon, and I'm good to go. Now, if I told you I was pursuing karate that way, listen, that's not a pursuit. I'm admiring martial arts by watching those movies. But I'm not pursuing it if I'm not actively participating in it. Does that make sense? You can't be a mature Christian. Here's the problem. No offense. There's a lot of people that admire mature Christians. We admire people that are living for Jesus. But the choices we have to make to pursue the same maturity. So are you an admirer? Are you have admiration for mature believers? Or do you seek to be one? Listen, pursue it. It's not passive. It won't happen on its own. You won't sit here one day and all of a sudden be a mature believer. You have to take the steps to grow in your walk with Christ. And if Satan's been eating you for lunch in your mind and your heart and in your life, don't you want to be mature to move past that? I would encourage you to do so. So what does that look like? You have to live out some scripture. Here's some examples. In Psalm 63, verse 1, it says, O God, you are my God. Earnestly I seek you. My soul thirst for you. My flesh faints for you as in a dry and weary land where there is no water. What is King David saying there? He is saying earnestly, I will pursue the heart of God. I will pursue to be like God. So friends, pursuit is not passive. Ask God to give you an earnest desire to seek him. The second thing, if you're writing things down, is this: pursuit requires a plan. Pursuit requires a plan. Let me give you a couple of examples from people in our room. I see sitting here over to my left, Coach Matt Nelson. He is recently taking the head coaching job for the varsity boys basketball at New Hope High School, and we wish him the best. We'll miss him here in Albertville. I mean, you're not leaving the church or anything. I mean, you're stuck here, and you're stuck in Albertville, but we'll miss him in our school system. But as he's there, so if I were to bring, I won't, Matt, don't worry, but if I were to bring him up here and interview him for a minute and say to him, listen, how are you going to aspire and pursue a championship team over the next few years in your division? How are you going to do that? I guarantee you he wouldn't take the microphone and say, all I'm going to do is I'm going to tell the boys, get out there and have fun. That is not a plan. That is not. That may be fun. It won't be. That would not be fun for long. It would not. That is not a plan. Instead, if I were to ask him, I know he could start rattling off a multi-year plan to develop young men in character, fundamental skills, and teamwork because he has a plan. You pursue with a plan. It will not happen on its own. Let me give you another example. Our church, it's kind of strange, but we have multiple band directors in our church. Brandon Pruitt for Sardis. We have a couple of different folks from Albertville, Taylor Cash, Nathan Haskew. We've got folks from, listen, we're blessed in that way. But if I were to ask the guys with the Albertville band program, if I were to say to them, listen, you have an award-winning, excellent, incredible band. So what is it that you do to make that happen? I don't expect Nathan, I asked him this morning and he said no, he was in the early service. I would not expect Nathan to stop and say, well, you know, that old musical called Music Man that was from many, many years ago, and it was about the shyster, the crook, Henry Hill, and he sold instruments to people, but he didn't know how to play music, so we told everybody, I'm going to teach you a new way called the Think Method. Anybody remember that musical from Music Man? So the Think Method is where you hold your instrument in your hand and you think about playing it, and then all of a sudden you'll be able to play it. Guess what? That is not how that works. The think method does not work in musicals. The think method does not work in real life band. And listen, let me tell you something. The think method does not work in your walk with Christ. But so many people want to mature in Christ by just thinking about it. They take it in, they listen, they learn, they hear. I'm thinking about it. But listen, you got to do more than think. You have to move past the think method. You need a plan. So how do we find a plan? Pursuit requires a plan. Let me give you a few from Scripture. One plan comes from Psalms. It says, "Your word I've hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you." If you want a plan to be more like Jesus, to live more for God, memorize Scripture, put it in your heart. That way it comes out when you need it. Another plan is there's multiple places in the New Testament that tell you how to pray and when to pray. And if it tells you how to pray and when to pray and what to pray, if we'll read that and learn it and begin to practice that, there's you a plan that will help you mature in your faith. Or what about the plan from 2 Timothy where it says all Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. What's the plan? Putting in God's word and learning different parts of God's word to help you to be able to equip yourself for teaching, for rebuking of yourself, for correcting, for training in righteousness, to live the life that God has called us to. And so pursuit requires a plan. It's not passive. It requires a plan. Number three, if you're writing it down, pursuit requires perseverance. Listen, how many victories have been lost? How many successful endings never came, all because somebody gave up too soon? The going gets tough and people walk away. How many people have not persevered in praying or persevered in staying or persevered in living? And what happens is the victory doesn't come, success doesn't come. Can I encourage you? Hear me say these words. Stay the course. If you're discouraged today, stay the course. If you've been praying for someone to give their life to Jesus and nothing's happened for 10 years, stay the course. If you have been concerned because your neighbors don't seem to be responding to your invitations to be a bridge for the gospel, for them to know Jesus, stay the course in living it out. If you're worried about how people around you are acting and how some believers act and you wish everyone could be different, just stay the course and show love to people and be the person that God's called you to be. The scripture says this, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. That idea of being fervent is to stay the course, to keep at it. Galatians chapter 6, 9 says, and it's Paul speaking, he says, and let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up. So then as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone, and especially to those who are of the household of faith. Paul himself says, don't be weary, don't give up, stay the course. In this room, in a room this size, between the early service and this service, we have several hundred people here. Here's what I can tell you. Somebody's weary. Somebody's tired. Somebody's wore out. Can I encourage you? Stay the course. Stay the course in your walk with Christ. Stay the course in your search for love and grace and what God is doing in your lives. And then Hebrews chapter 10. I love this verse. If I were to encourage you to memorize one verse from this whole message series, it wouldn't be from Philippians. It'd be this verse today, Hebrews 10:23. It's Paul talking again, and he says, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. Hold fast to the confession of our hope, because he's not finished with me. Hold fast to the confession of hope, because we're still alive and breathing. And so joy comes in the morning. Hope still walks with the hurting. God is still at work. Hold fast to the confession of your faith and the hope of your faith, because there is a fountain filled with blood. Hold fast because of the truth we see in this scripture. So pursuit requires perseverance. Hang in there, guys. Persevere. And the last phrase, if you're writing things down, pursuit must move past the past. Let me say it again. Pursuit must move past the past. So pursuit must not be passive. Pursuit must have a plan. Pursuit must persevere. And then pursuit must move past the past. What do I mean? No one wins a race by looking behind them. That bicycle ride I took from Chattanooga to Destin, it was not a race at all. It's a good thing. But in the reality is, with like 14 riders who did that together, I never once looked behind me. You know why? Because I promise you, and I'm not exaggerating, I was always the last person every single time. And so I was at the back, and that was not an act of servitude. That was, I could not do it, and I was not in shape. And so I was the guy at the back of the line. But if I looked behind me, that's how you have a bicycle accident and a wreck. Listen, you see people who are racing. You see people on the football field this fall, and they're headed down the field with the ball. If they turn around and start looking at someone behind them, that's how you trip up and fall and slow down. We must look forward. We have to move past the past. Look at what he says in verse Philippians 3:13. We're almost done. Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, Paul says, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Paul says, if I'm going to be a mature Christian, I'm forgetting what's behind me and I'm straining toward what's ahead. So the idea of forgetting what's behind does not mean that you literally forget everything in your past. In fact, without a catastrophic event of amnesia, you will never forget your past. We say things here, phrases in our country. There's a phrase we use like, you've got to forgive and forget. Listen, if you have to forget to forgive, you'll never forgive. You're not going to forget. And so that's really a bad saying that we use. It's forgive and move on. It's not forgive and forget. Unless you have amnesia or some declining health issue that causes you to forget everything, you will remember things from your past. But the Bible idea of forgetting is not to forget everything. Warren Wiersbe, a great theologian, said this: to forget in the Bible means to no longer be influenced by or affected by a past event. Now, let me give you that again. He says to forgive in the Bible means to no longer be affected by or influenced by a past event. Now, that's a good definition. In order to be mature in Christ and to pursue maturity, you have to move past your past, the good past and the bad past. Now, listen, there are believers who are struck with the weight and the wake of their past sin and circumstance. And if you have been around this church very long, I will say this 8 to 10 times a year, easily, maybe more. It's one of my favorite phrases, and I'm going to say it to you again right now. You've heard it before if you've been here very long, and that is this. If you know Jesus, God does not see you for what you did in your past. He sees you for who he is making you to be. You are not what you once did. You are who God is creating you to be. Listen, every person in this room's got a past. Some of your pasts are worse than others. I get it. But if you knew every secret thought in my heart and my mind, my past is just as bad as yours. And every last one of us need to know that if we know Jesus, you are not what you once did. You are who God is making you to be. And I don't care if it's something you did 10 years ago or something you did last night or 6 weeks ago or a thought you had in your mind. You are not that. You are who God is making you to be. Somebody needs to hear that today. I want to encourage you to walk in that so we can forget and not live. We take our sin and the things that we used to do or where we've been stuck, and some of us say, well, God's never going to use me. There's just no way because of all that. Listen, if you are a minister, if you know Jesus, the Bible calls you a minister, and here's what I want you to know. No minister has ever been put on a shelf in the Bible. If you're put on a shelf and you're no longer being used by God, you put yourself there. God did not put you there. Because God's calling you to live your life in a way that influences your family, your friends, and others around you. Now, there may be times if you were a pastor for a living that you need to be put aside because of some things going on in your life. But I want you to know, no sin in your life has put you on a shelf when it comes to being used by God. Because God offers forgiveness, redemption, and a new life in him. And so today, if you messed up yesterday, start fresh today. Repent today. Move forward today. If you've been struggling for something that happened years ago, listen, friends, if God has forgotten it, then surely you and I can too. Again, to not let it influence us or affect us, but to move forward. But here's the deal. I don't think Paul, he did not say forgetting all the bad things behind. I strain forward to what's ahead. He said forgetting everything. That's the good and the bad. Here's the real deal. Some of us as believers, we're not struggling with our past sin. We're sort of stuck and comfortable with our past victories. And I want to encourage you. I love the good old days. We could talk for hours about things in my past. I just would love to tell you stories. I enjoy sharing stories. I like to hear your stories. I enjoy that. But here's what I know. I don't want to live in the past. Some of you are living on past victories. Let me give you some examples. That Emmaus weekend that you went on a decade ago, that is not providing power for your life today. That mountaintop youth retreat you went on when you were a teenager, that is not helping you to grow in your walk with Christ today. That special worship service we had 6 months ago where the altar was filled and people moved in power, God moved in power and the Holy Spirit moved in people's lives, that was incredible and I loved every moment of that. But can I tell you something right now? That's not helping you worship Jesus today one bit. Today is a decision we make to not let hold on to the past, but to move forward in Him. So I want to encourage you to do just that, to press on. Celebrate your past victories. You got a lot to celebrate, so do I. But ask God, listen, what would happen if every person in this room just asked God today to give us a fresh wind and a fresh fire? What if today we ask the Holy Spirit to give us a fresh wind and a fresh fire and fresh truth from His word? So if you're stuck in sin or if you're stuck in past victories, today's the day to move forward in Christ. Now listen, I know what it's like to rest on the good things of the past. I know what it's like to feel the guilt and weight of the bad things of the past. The scripture teaches conviction. That's what the Holy Spirit does in your life. He convicts you of your sin. But if you've already sought repentance from something from your past and God is forgiven and you're still feeling guilty for it, here's the difference. Conviction is the work of the Holy Spirit in Jesus. And when it moves itself over to guilt, you are leaving the realm of Jesus and entering the realm of Satan. Let me say it. I believe that with all my heart. Guilt is not what God has for you. Now, conviction is not a bad thing. But guilt, Jesus died so that you didn't have to have that guilt. So if you're harboring a grudge against yourself when God's already forgiven it, today's a day for you to be free of that. Ask Him to help you. If you are on the other side of that, you're comfortable and you're excited about something that happened way back when or a few weeks ago or whatever, today's a day to say, God, I will not be just excited about the past. I will celebrate the past, but today I want to walk in new victory. I want to follow the power of the Holy Spirit at work in my life. Today I want to live for You. I want to press on and pursue. Let's have a little crowd participation before our invitation. Would you stand to your feet, please? Every person in the room. I'm going to ask you to do something. I've done it a couple of times before, but it'll get the point across, I really believe. So if you'll plant your feet there, and then look right at me. And then this is something for all of us to participate and do. Here's what I want you to do. I'd like you, first of all, to turn and look as far as you can over your left shoulder. Everybody turn and look. Look back there. Keep looking. Your left, some of you. Keep looking. All right, now look back at me. Now I want you to turn and look all the way back over your right shoulder. Look all the way back there. Look all the way back there. Okay, now look at me. Don't ever look back there again. Press on. Look forward. Don't go back there. God is moving this way. Look this way. Move forward in your faith. Just stay standing. Here's what I want you to know. Let's make it our ambition, our goal to press on and to be like Him, to pursue Him. Remember, it's not passive, so we must determine today if we're going to grow in Christ. You make a choice today and make it active. Second, it requires a plan. Don't leave here without one, two, or three action steps. If you've been praying for someone to come to know Jesus and you're getting weary, today's the day to say, I will start to pray again and again and again, and I will make a renewed commitment to do so. If your action step of maturing in Christ is you want to be an encourager to someone, maybe for you, you're going to make a renewed commitment that once a day you're going to contact someone and let them know God loves them and so do you. Now that may seem simple, but that word of encouragement really makes a difference. For some of you, the action step is to not pay any more attention for the next 3 minutes. Take your cell phone out and text somebody right now. Don't start tomorrow. Start today. Tell them, I just want you to know God loves you and so do I, and I pray for you. Get your phone out and do it right now if that's your plan you want to do. Maybe for others of you, it's a decision that you make that you really want to seek to get to know God and His Word. Whatever you do, don't decide to start tomorrow. Tomorrow never comes. Start today. Eat your Father's Day lunch and go home and get your Bible out and start today and ask God to do that. Whatever He's doing, pursue Him with a plan. And remember to persevere. If you're weary, listen, stay the course. If you're weary, hold fast. Let us pray for you. Would you come and pray? If you're weary, you want to come and get on your knees for a minute. Here's what I promise you. There will be other people who will come and pray with you. Now you say, they don't even know what I'm praying about. That's right. They don't have to. What we do together, we don't have to know everything about each other. We're there for each other. So when someone prays, we pray for them. When someone needs encouraging, we encourage them. We do that together. And who knows the prayers that might be lifted up that way. And then lastly, we just make a commitment to live out the plan, to live it out. And I encourage you to do so. Forgetting what's behind, don't ever look back there again. Press on for the goal. Would you bow with me? With our heads bowed, as we move to our invitation time, we're going to sing, I Have Decided to Follow Jesus. Maybe for you, you just need to come and pray because you realize that your maturing in Christ honestly has been passive and you want it to be active. So just come and pray about that. Someone will pray with you. Maybe for you, you've got a plan and you've got someone you've been praying for. And so you want to come humble yourself one more time on your knees and pray again for that person, asking God to move in their life. Someone will come and pray for you and with you. Maybe for you, you just need to persevere. Maybe you want to move past something. Maybe for you, you gave your life to Jesus during Vacation Bible School. You want to make that public. We had one come this morning already professing Christ. Maybe God's calling you to unite with our church like the Rowells did today, like Rayanna Tedder did in the early service today. Maybe you want to come and make a decision to be an official part of our church family. Whatever God is saying to you. Would you respond? If you come and pray, we'll pray with you. If you want me to pray with you, I'll pray with you. If you want to make another decision, you come as God directs. Father God, help us to pursue you. Help us to press on in you. Help us to forget what is behind and strain towards what's ahead and seek for the goal of the prize of maturity in Christ. Oh God, that prize is available to all of us. Every child, every teenager, every adult in the room. Help us, Father. Please move among us now. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to sing, I Have Decided. Stay standing.
You've been listening to the radio ministry of Albertville's First Baptist Church. For more information, please call 256-878-2291 or visit www.albertvillefbc.org. We hope you will join us next Sunday at 9 a.m. right here on 105.1 WQSB.